And thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just as we go to your word, Lord, quicken our minds and our hearts that we may be able to hear, be able to receive, appropriating everything, Lord, that you have done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We've been seeing the results, the impact of what Jesus has done for us in terms of the transfer that made possible between him and us. The things that actually have been transferred to us because of what he had and what he did. And this is probably the most important thing, the most important concept that we had to come to grasp with as believers. You know, many just don't come to appreciate fully the extent in which Jesus achieved a victory for us, so that they cannot come to realize and receive and manifest in their life all the benefits that he made available to us. And to do that, one of the things that needs to happen is to know that we need to understand that we have to exercise our faith to receive these things. Because everything that we receive from God is by faith. And everything that is received by faith is because, means that we simply believe it. And all the unbelief, all the questioning, all the doubts that come in our minds are just eliminated in different ways, but they are eliminated. And the word explained to us very clearly the steps that we can take to overcome the unbelief. Realizing that unbelief is the opposite of believing, and it's not just a lack of something. It's substituting something for something else. It's substituting things that are not true for things that they should be there. So the idea is that, it's not that unbelief is non-believing something. It's believing something that is wrong. And so it's a choice that we make. And we make it in such a way that we go against willingly or consciously what God said. So actually, unbelief is sin. The Bible says very clearly that they talk about in Hebrew about the evil art of unbelief. Why say evil art is because it comes directly against what God said. Unbelief is not ignorance. It's a choice. The same way as faith, which is believing what God said, is a choice. So when we accept and believe what the Word of God says, and we start allowing the Word to rule our life and guide our thinking, what happens is all the things that God said the Word will do are going to be manifested in our lives. Christianity is more than just a philosophy. It's not more than just, try to feel good type of mental exercise. It's a spiritual reality in which we come in contact with the power of God. And the power of God works in our lives to empower us, because this is our His desire. When we realize what He has made available for us, the only thing that we can do is to respond to Him and say, I want more of it. The only thing that we can say, this is so good, it's too good to be true. This is why it's called the gospel, the good news. Because they are too good to be true and the world cannot receive it because they can grab their mind around it. They can figure out why a God could be so good to bless us in such a way. And they don't come into the blessings because they don't open up to the reality of the Word of God. See, much of our problems are self-generated. We make the wrong decisions. We sow to the flesh and we think to reap good things. But the Word of God says very clearly that when we sow to the flesh, we reap death. We sow to the Spirit, we reap life. Hallelujah. So this is the thing we have to realize, understand, and start, instead of looking at God as the one that is trying to remove all the fun from our life, is the one that is going to give us the best life that we can ever imagine. Beyond our expectations and imaginations. Because He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a loving Father. He's better than any father that we could have had. Now, you know, we already talked about many of the things that we have received because of what we know at the moment when we accepted Jesus. The fact is, many people do not realize that. They just get into a religious mentality, thinking about religious ideas instead of really coming in contact and in a relationship with the living God. If they would instead learn to see, and they had to learn from someplace. I mean, it's not that it's going to be just coming to your mind just like that. You had to find a place in which you realize what actually happened. You know, it took me a long time after I was born again and Spirit-filled to actually come to realize and appreciate all the things that were available to me. And every day I must say that I can find some new things. I come more into that experience. It gets better and better. And that's the way it should be because, you know, God has planned a transformation in which we are going to go from blessing to blessing, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. More and more. God is the God of more, not less. He has everything. And He's not a stingy God. Hallelujah. You know, when we were born again, we got a new creation, a new spirit, righteousness, remissions of our sins, healing, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, eternal life inside us, you know, exceedingly great power. We saw these things already dwelling in us, you know, and all things are under our feet. That means, you know, we are given us the ability to overcome things, forces of darkness. Okay. And this is really for the logical mind too much to believe. But fortunately, we cannot and don't need to work according to the logical mind. We can walk and learn to walk by the Spirit, our Spirit. And this is really what makes all the difference between Christians that have victory and Christians that have lived in defeat. Christians that keep moving on, and Christians that get stuck, and maybe even regress and lose everything. You know, I remember friends of mine, they had the same experiences. And, you know, when I got saved, that was ages ago. You know, in 72, you know, other people were friends, and we were just excited about the Lord. I lost most of them. They just got lost in the way. That's not God's plan for them. Is that they got stuck with religion, and religion kept them bound, and they became cold, and they lost the fire that they had at the beginning. I wonder even if they're saved anymore. And there are so many. And it's so hard to see something like that. Because you know that this is not God's plan. This is not what God has planned from the beginning. This is not what God wants. This is there to try to help us to move on and to get more and more conquerors and victorious in Him. But it doesn't happen all the time. See, not always God's will happens on earth. This is why for us, you know, the Lord's Prayer, that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, is something that we had to really, we have a part to play to make it happen. Hallelujah. So, He wants us to manifest all these blessings in our life. But there are some conditions for that to happen. And the condition is that we are in Christ, that we remain in Christ, that Christ is the center of our existence. That we are not there coming to church on Sunday and we believe that we are believers. It's every moment of the day that Christ is in us, guiding us, empowering us, ruling our decisions and our, you know, the way we see, the way we interpret things, the way we do, so that we are empowered by His Spirit and not by our mind. You know, in Hebrew, you know, what I'm talking about is a life that we just start to see. We had the courage just to start to look at that up to now was hardly unthought of. But it's becoming more and more spread through the believers. The ones that have lights in them and not the ones that are in religion. The reading for, and this has been in the Bible all the time. And you say, you know, why people didn't even talk about this stuff? Because the religion keep people blind to the truth. It's the Spirit of God that brings us revelation and understanding and ability and power and breakthroughs and keep us moving toward what God's plan for our life is. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For it was fitting for whom are all these things, by whom are all things," which is Jesus, "in bringing many sons to glory." I mean, this is, you know, people was talking always about, oh, you know, don't take the glory of God. You know, that concept by itself is wrong. See, God wants to give His people His glory. It's His desire that we manifest the glory of God in our life, the way Jesus did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, He has more than enough to fill us up with it. Hallelujah. You know, He's not stingy. He's not there with, you know, dropper there to do the little blessings. He can bless abundantly more than anything we can think or dream about. But we have to connect with Him. It's not the formalities, it's not our philosophies, are not our efforts. It's His Spirit that makes the difference. It's His Spirit that enables us to do what we cannot do in ourselves. And when we stop to try to do it that way, then we can make progress. You see, for whom all things and by whom all things are, in bringing many sons to glory. to make the capital of their salvation perfect through suffering. So you know what he went through. He became the leader, for us to guide us into our salvation. It says, for both, verse 11, chapter 2, says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. See, the unity that God wants to bring to us, into him, is something that he, Jesus himself, demonstrated in his relationship with the Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I mean, we, you know, look at Jesus as something that is so far away, when instead he calls us brethren. He's our older brother. And that doesn't decrease or diminish his, what he has done on his glory. It just makes it bigger. Because what he did it for us. See, that's the only reason why he came. He didn't come for himself. He didn't need to come for himself. He didn't need to go through what he went through for himself. He just all did that. He had everything already. But he wanted us. And for us, he was ready to pay everything that he had. And that's what he did. And because of that, when we come into that relationship with him, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. You know, people put themselves down all the time. Instead of putting ourselves down, we should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you made this possible for us, because it certainly was not because of what we have done. It was because of what he has done. You see, he has done it all. There is no more anything that needs to be done, but everything was achieved. Now there is a part that we had to play. You see, the responsibility he took on himself, everything that needed to be done, and now he left to us something to do about it. It just doesn't happen spontaneously. It happens as a result of some things we do, and it's not the works that we do to try to get it. Is recognizing what he has done and appropriating what he has done and allowing our gratitude to enable us to grasp everything that he has made available to us. And there is so much that we can come into experiences. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I mean, you know, this was said in the Old Testament, but we should be shouting it from the rooftops. Because they knew nothing. They had a covenant that was inferior to what we have. We have a better covenant based on better promises, based on better benefits. Hallelujah. And is there available to us if we just believe it and take it. So, in all this section of Hebrew, and Hebrew is really written to Jews so that they may understand what they were missing, what they are missing. Judaism is a religion. Christianity is not. That's a basic difference. So, reading some more here. I'm trying to. This is not going to have enough time to cover anything here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So I'm going to read quickly this truth. You know, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. This is a quotation from the Old Testament, from Psalms. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. And again, you know, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, and I and the children whom God has given me. This is talking about us. He's talking about what, you know, God knew that was going to happen, and the way Jesus felt about the what was going to happen with the people that were responding to what he had done, so that he would be able to be able to be his brothers. Verse 14, inasmuch as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise shared the same. So he became like us. That through death he may destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. And that's good already. I mean, so the devil is destroyed. Right? I mean, we had to realize that, you know, people give so much power to him, but he's destroyed. It says it here. Do you believe the Bible? He's destroyed. Don't give him power, because that's the only way that, you know, you, because you believe him. Believe God. All right. And verse 15, release those who through fear of death were all in their life subject to bondage. You see, when we start to experience in his life, fear of death is gone. Okay? That it becomes an indication of what happened within you, that the reality of what happened within you. Fear of death, you know, is going to be glorious up there. And so, just as Paul said, I'd rather be here because I know you need me. Okay? We need to do a job. The world is a mess and needs believers. We need to spread the good news. We need to spread, you know, the truth of the freedom of the children of God so that they can start experiencing it. Amen? So we have a job to do. And so we had to take that responsibility. And it's not just for preachers. Everybody is a minister in the gospel. If you are born again, you are ministers. You are called. You have a responsibility. You have to spread the good news. The sign shall follow them that believe. Amen? Amen. Are you one that of them that believes? Yes. Well, then those signs shall follow you. Not just the pastor or just some preachers. No, any amen for that, anyway. It's true. That's what the word says. See, anyway. Okay, now we're moving. Now we're moving. All right. So, you know, let's now get into how believers are going to manifest what they have. Because, you know, the very moment, you had to realize the very moment when you accepted Jesus, your spirit has got everything that needed to get. Your mind is retarded. Doesn't have to catch up, has to learn something. All right? We need to know what is ours. And if we don't, you know, it's like we just got into a new kingdom. We just got into a new dimension. That we weren't there before. We were dead, and then we become alive. What is in this new life that we have in the world in which that life exists, we had no experience whatsoever. We may just got just a bit of religion from the past or things, but you know, we got maybe a bit of an idea. But there is so much there that we need to learn, just like a baby learns when it comes into the world. You came into the real world. And so you had to start learning to do. And the only way that we get that is to God tell us. You know, our daddy has to really show us what is there. And he did it through the Word. That's what the Word of God is. That's what the Bible helps us to do. This is a way we can recognize or distinguish between flesh and spirit. This is what gives us the instruction, the information, it's not just information in the mind, but revelation that has to come from our spirit. That is already in there, but has to come out, has to start to rule us. All right. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says there, His divine power has given us all things. This is one of the scriptures that get me going all the time, and I even have it on my website, my email at the end of the thing. I mean, this is such a good scripture. It's such a good idea to keep in ourselves. You know, has given us all things, you know, His divine power. Not ourselves. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What more do you want? You got everything you need. All right? Through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. You see, God wants to give us glory and virtue. I mean, He calls us for that purpose. He wants us to demonstrate those two things. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. This is, sometimes the idea of glory get lost because we just think in worldly terms. You know, what this really telling here is that we want us to reflect His glory and His splendor, His majesty as His sons. You see, generally, sons look like the Father. They have some of the characteristics of the Father because it rubs in. His characteristics should rub into us so that when we go around, people should see God inside us. So I got some. All right. Are we moving? Hello? Are you there? See, this is His plan, His desire. This is saying in His divine nature, this is what He wants to do with us. Are we wanting to cooperate? Are we wanting to, do you want that? Yes. Hallelujah. I mean, who wouldn't? Amen. All things for life and godliness. So, I mean, you have everything you need. All right. Verse 4. Which have been given to us, and this is the way we get them, to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So He gives us the promises. So we through the promises that we see what He wants us to have. He said, you know, by His stripes you are healed. So you see what God wants to give to you. That's one of them. Thousands of them. That through these you may be partaker of the divine nature. Partakers, let's say it together, partaker of the divine nature. You know what that means? I got caught. All right, I do that all the time. All right. It means, you know, the divine nature, divine doesn't need to any explanation, but nature is the characteristics of somebody. Of a person or a being or whatever. So the nature of God, the characteristics of God, we may become partakers. I mean, talking about limitations, that we look at all our limitations, our inability or our insecurities or our things. You know, all these things should be shed off because Jesus didn't have any. Why? Because He was a partaker of the divine nature. And we had to grow unto Him. Hallelujah. So, John chapter 1, verse 12. you know, says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave him the right. Actually, you know, the word there is exousia, which actually means the authority to become sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, sons there, the word there in Greek, it means, you know, that one, you know, is the same word that was used as Jesus, the Son of God, or Adam was the Son of God. Which is ousos. That's the word in Greek. Which actually means the son, a descendant. The one that was, you know, like my son would be a descendant of me. Well, they said, you know, we are going descendant of God. Okay, so there is really a family relationship. Continuing in verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So you see, God himself is the one that comes into the picture and makes us alive. See that when you are born again, God himself performs the greatest miracle that anybody can do. And from your spirit being dead, you got a new spirit that is in communion with his spirit and has life inside, the life of God, all the life that you need for anything that you need for life and godliness. Hallelujah. And the only thing has to happen, and you have to start allowing the life that's inside you to start to come out and be manifested. Praise the Lord. You know, that life we need revelation about the meaning and the reality of the eternal life that is implanted inside us the very moment when we said to Jesus, yes, you are my Lord. It's more, you know, angels dance around the heavens when one person does that. Why? Because there is such a big thing that's happening. You know, there is such a big breakthrough that is more than just one person event. It's an heavenly event. And we had to come to realize the impact that that can have in our life, that, you know, we see just that little bit because our mind blocks the whole thing because we don't understand what's going on. You know, the maximum, we just use some scriptures like that, but really we don't grasp the fullness of the extent of the change that took place inside us and the release, the life that we have come into. And if we just could remove the veil around, you know, the blindness that we have, it would be, we probably couldn't take it physically. That's as much as I would be. Because there is so much we can take, you know, and so, you know, has to happen a bit by bit. You know, already when you get just a little revelation about the word, you feel just so excited, just like this, you know, getting a glory fit. You know, and this is nothing compared to what happened at that moment. And so we had to be so excited, so grateful, so responding to what took place, and so much wanting to see it fulfilled, manifested in our life. God wants us to have that relationship with him. The same relationship that Jesus had with him as the Father. And we can have that relationship, that intensity, that power, that fullness, that we can be lost in this. You see, many people think that being born again is good because they're going to go to heaven. And they don't even know what that means anyway. is much more than that, and it's just happening the very moment in which you are born again. Everything is there. It's just not coming through from our spirit to our mind and to our flesh. That's all. And so we had to deal with those things, our flesh and our mind and our body, to try to re-educate them. Not according to the things that the senses receive, but according to the things that the spirit knows. But we still have to do that through our senses to a large extent, because that's the way we are going to get it anyway. You see, the senses are still the things that can be a door of the truth. We go through our senses, we read the word, and then the word is revealed to us by our spirit. But still we get it through our senses, because otherwise we can't figure it out, we can't think about it, we can, you know, that's the way we are limited. Okay. So in 2 Corinthians, just a few more minutes. Yeah, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, I want to stress this scripture, because this is often interpreted narrowly, and this is much wider than what the Genesis interpreted. So, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Hello? He's talking about Jesus, okay? But doesn't apply only to Jesus. You see, you have to start regarding no one according to the flesh. That includes yourself. You cannot look at your limitations and your mistakes, at other people's mistakes, or all these things. You have to start looking at what is inside them and what the potential is, because that's what God put there. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The implications of that, you have to stop looking at all your shortcomings and start looking at God and what He can do through you. He wants, His desire, His plan. That's why He puts it there. It's not just so that it can go dormant for 50, 60, 80 years or whatever, 100 years inside you. That's not God's plan. He wants that stuff that He put inside there to do the work that did through Jesus. And the only person that can stop or can allow that, it's you. That means, you know, there are decisions, steps, things that you can do to allow that to happen, or step and things that actually you are going to hinder it because you are caught up in other things. If you realize the responsibility that we have, and, you know, it doesn't, if you come to that realization, it's not much of an effort to commit to do what God wants to do with your life. Are you following me? You know, it becomes a, I won't say a passion, it becomes engrossing things that is taking over. And this is what God wants. That's what was with Jesus. That's what can become with us. See, reading again the scripture, and, you know, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Okay, we had to learn to do that. Okay, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we now know Him thus no more. You know, all these people trying to deal with, you know, find the historical Jesus. They are wasting their time. He's alive. He's not a history figure. God is the God of the living, not the dead. This is just, that shows how religiosity and theology get off a tangent and becomes a philosophy and loses all the power. They cannot heal a fly. When the Bible says very clearly what we can do, and not just some preachers, just every believer can do that. These, you know, these are the signs that follow them that believe. In my name. Now, we have to understand the name, and that's another thing that we have to talk about. Hallelujah. Therefore, says anyone who is in Christ. See, everybody reads from 2 Corinthians 5:17, but they should start reading from 2 Corinthians 5:16. Because this is, if you don't read the 16, you don't understand the 17. Do you see that? It says, you know, therefore, you see, if it's therefore, there's a reason they disconnected to before. Because we cannot look at things anymore in the flesh, but we are looking at the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old things have passed away. All things have passed away. Can you say all things have passed away? Not just some, all things. Amen. And behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. You know, and I remember, and you know, this is pretty common. Lots of people, you know, said, well, now you come to the Lord, now we have to work on you. You know, you have to. There is a discipleship component that definitely is there. But it's not a question that now you have to evolve into something that you are not at the beginning. You see, you know, conservative Christian don't say they don't believe in evolution, but actually they are just evolutionarily minded. Okay, they think, okay, now you got to a certain place, you got born again, now you had to evolve into the way Jesus wanted you to be. No, it's completely wrong. You don't have to evolve in anything. You have to remove all the junk that is inside you so that you can be what you are. You see, it's not that you have to come become something else. You already got the whole thing. All things are of God. If all things are, you see, but most of the theology don't talk about all things being of God. Now you have to grow into holiness. Well, you have to remove the junk. Clean yourself up. Confess your sins. And he is faithful and just to cleanse you from your sins and remove all your unrighteousness. Hallelujah. It's not you doing it. It's not other people doing it. It's the fact that the word of God is true. And when you connect to that, you start realizing, well, wait a minute, this is not me. I don't want that. You know, you don't need to be religious to get holy. That's what I'm saying. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, if you're really connected with Jesus, you get holy. Because you get separated. You get, you know, holiness. That's not that you look pious, you know, and just, you know, that's not the story. The story is that you don't want to mix up with some stuff that is dirty, but you are not afraid of the dirt around you because the demons are afraid of you. Too bad. The time flies when one has fun. Are you following me? Yes. You see, this is the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. This is what we need to get. That's the place we had to live. The kingdom is inside you. Hallelujah. We had to start experiencing the kingdom and start allowing the kingdom to start living in that dimension. And the only one that is going to stop us, or the only one that demons can do that, the only one that can make us be there is ourselves. You have to choose to live there. Choose to always, before us, life and death, blessing and curses, just choose life. Praise the Lord. All right, I think we had to make a confession. Yeah, can do without it. Don't you think? Do you agree on that? All right, let's make a good confession here. Let's talk like sons of God. Amen? Amen. All right, thank you, Father, for all you have done for me. I was dead in trespasses, and you have made me alive in Christ. I'm born again, not of the flesh, not of man, but of God. You made me a new creation. All things have become new. All things are of God. You gave me the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell in me, to fill me, and to guide me. You gave me your word to renew my mind, to know your will, to direct my path, and to guide me. You made me your ambassador to this world, and to use me to spread the truth, your love, your peace, your life. Praise God. You gave me your exceedingly precious promises, by which I am a partaker of your divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. Your Holy Spirit leads me from my spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit witnesses to my heart that I am a child of God, and that you are my Father. My true identity is not earthly, but heavenly, because I'm your child. And I'm not carnal, I'm spiritual. My identity is based on what Jesus has done. Praise you, Lord. And know what I have done. Jesus overcame the devil for me. He is the overcomer. And I am an overcomer. I'm joint heir with Christ. And because I'm a joint heir, all he has is mine. He overcame sin. He overcame sickness. He overcame death. He did all for me, and I received the benefits, and I live in them. His peace, his blessings, healing, victory are mine. By his stripes, I am healed. He lives in me, and I live in him. He is in the Father, and because I am hid in him, I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. He can do all things. And I can do all things in Christ to strengthen me. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Christ in me is my hope of glory. And I rejoice and boast in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, this thinking should become the basis of our thinking. And these are words. These are scriptures. Just I didn't do anything else than quote scripture one after the other. This is what the word says about us. This is what we should say about us. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you next week. Oh, not tonight. Anybody that needs prayer, whatever prayer they want. Amen.